Don't forget to suck some titties.
I'm a big fan of yoga. Not that I do it, but you know, I'm always a good spectator. I don't know how you're a good spectator or something. And is the word spectator just a nicer way of saying fan? But we have a fan is like, oh my God, where spectator is like, I'm looking at you, you sack of shit. Where a fan is like, oh my God, I love you, Justin. Well, not me. You know, I'm not saying Justin. Just in case you're wondering. Oh, Jesus. Been beefing with Benny. Big old Benny Blanco. Which I guess is Benny White. More like Betty White. Yeah, that was bad. Really bad. Chances are Benny Blanco probably wrote a song for Justin. That's kind of the odd part. But yeah, the pop star. It's kind of fading. No pun intended. The pop star as we know it is fading. I don't think we're having the Justin Timberlakes of the world anymore. I don't think we're going to have the Biebers. I don't think we're going to have, you know, they tried to do like the Harry Styles stuff and, you know, for a certain audience, but I think a lot of these pop stars are so driven towards one specific type of audience that's not really broad. And there's nothing unique about their music, per se. And that's not the shade people, you know. But the male pop star, it's a dying breed. There's a lot they'll try to push on you. And it's not that they're not good. Not that they don't have good voices. Like, there's this guy, Benson Boone. He kind of reminds me of, like, a Freddie Mercury type of thing. Really good voice. You know, obviously, he has a lot of charisma. Yeah, I have nothing bad to say about him. But it definitely seems more of infiltrated. If there was such thing as an industry plant, it's what they have tried to make the pop stars these days. Even like the mid-2000s, they create these boy bands, One Direction. And each one goes solo, and it's just a numbers game. Like, one, maybe two out of five of them will have sellout tours consistently. Three or four of them will make music, and there's always that one guy that gets into, like, origami. And it's like a family man type of thing. But they all five can't be superstars. So, yeah, I just think, like, the pop star as we know it is kind of dying. Not a bad thing, you know. Also, just really, like, rock music. I don't know a single new rock band in the past 5 years, 8 years. I know they exist. It's a lot of now what's going on is there's a lot of newer bands coming up. They're trying to recreate that 90s nostalgia or early 2000s nostalgia feel. And they're not really creating a new sound. And I think that's why we feel like there's no new music, because everything sounds the same, because people are just trying to recreate the past when times were more, I guess, in motion, when times felt more present compared to now, where By the way, today's drink, Ghost Welch's Grape. Not too bad. Pretty good. Sorry, I'm kind of dealing with a little bit of a headache. I kind of had a, how do I put this soulfully for the tube? I had a temper tantrum. oh God, I got a lot of issues, man. That's for another day. But yeah, a lot of, we're trying to recapture like nostalgia. Like now it's, a lot of upcoming music, it's, does this remind you of Creed? And it's like, I mean, I didn't hear anything about My Arms Wide Open one time. So no, it doesn't. I didn't hear nothing about sacrifice. So no, I didn't hear nothing about self-liberation and finding faith. It's a lot of self-adulation about why can't you love me? That's what I hear. I don't hear no deep soul. So no, You're just recreating the sound, but not the present music that made Creed Creed. But yeah. I know, that's me just being a little greedy. I don't even know what the word Creed means, to be honest. I know the movie Creed. By the way, Ryan Coogler. I had an interview with him. I didn't know he sounded like that. He has a heavy, I think they say California accent or enunciation, which isn't a bad thing. But, you know, sometimes you think, you know, you look at someone, you could typically try to attach a voice that comes with someone. You know, I was expecting, like, you know, kind of a deeper lead of direction voice with all of his accomplishments. And think, like, man, if someone's leading, directing these films from scratch, some written by their own, some that were big studios, and some in between. And, dude, he does not sound like you would think he does. That's not a shade. It's more like that's why you don't judge. Don't judge a book by its cover. And I don't know if it's true that Ryan Gosling is going to be in the new Black Panther. People are having a field day with that. But as far as I know, according to the comics and stuff, there's supposed to be a Black Panther or a character that's actually supposed to be white attachment to it. You know, so it sounds crazier than what it really is. But it's kind of odd when you make the movie centers and like, yeah, Ryan Gosling's going to be in the Black Panther. You're like, oh, okay. someone made a joke. It was something like in The Notebook, he actually meant to say, I forgot what it was, but you know. That would have been funny if The Notebook would have been interracial. I wonder if The Notebook would have been an interracial couple, would it have been as broadly spectrum and promoted? You know, I do think, they're going to stick to the book. I'm not trying to be like, I'm just thinking like legitimately, like if they would have made a version of where it was a white guy with a black woman. You know, some new. I wonder how that would have been promoted. I wonder how, if there would have been a difference of success rate. You know, I don't know if there's, you know, I don't think there should be, but would more or less people gone to see the movie? Would people have criticized the movie differently? Because it's looked as like this romance movie of like the past 20 years, because it's based on a novel. It's like, I remember middle school when that movie came out, it was like girls beloved, like, oh my god. And now, you know, I think I watched the movie, some of it, like 8 or 10 years ago, and I was like, I mean, I guess it's an okay movie. I never thought it was like, you know, Mission Impossible taking over your screens or anything. I didn't think it was Pulp Fiction great. I didn't think it was, you know, Sleepless in Seattle. Now I'm naming movies I haven't even seen, but apparently that's supposed to be a great fucking romance. I didn't think it was A Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Didn't see that movie either. But, you know, you get the point I'm making. Just love it when guys just start like saying generic movies that they've never seen, but they know the public has. See? Parasocial. And so, I was just thinking, is The Notebook more of a study about how things are designed to be as broadly accessible as possible? But I do love Spotlight, which has her in it. So, you know, no hate. But yeah. Welcome to episode 341. Yeah. Episode 341 of the Off and Beat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most part, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Recording this on June 10th, 2025. Yeah. Dude, I'm getting apps. Oh, fuck me. Absolutely fuck me. Sorry, I'm just watching everything I do just be absolutely wrecked, bro. Like, it's just one of those days, man. Like, why is it, you know, I'm not a believer that you're singled out for, like, some people are more lucky than others. I do feel like, you know, there are times where I feel like no matter what I try or do, man, it's just like nothing works. Bro, like, no matter how much time, how much prep you put in the shit, man, it's just like, bro, it's like, what the fuck do I have to do to make this shit work, man? Like, I'm getting to a point, I don't know what to fucking do anymore. You know? God, this stress is unfucking real. But anyways, yeah. Back to the good times. You know what? Fuck it. There's no good times. It's all bad. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. There's no such thing as good times around fucking here. You know, you're always just designed to get absolutely wrecked. Like, this is why you don't check your phone while this shit's happening, because it just fucking destroys your fucking day. You just hate yourself. You hate your life. You fucking just hate every fucking goddamn thing on fucking earth, man. It's all just a fucking scam. I'm not going to sit here and complain all day, even though I should. Like, bro, what the actual fuck? Like, now it doesn't want to fucking phone wants to fuck up and shit. Whatever, man. I don't know. Anyways, good times. Good times. Oh, Jesus. So, what do you call a bat out of hell? Knock, knock. Who's there? Kitty cat. Kitty cat who? Don't bat my kitty cat. See? It's a joke about cats dying because the bat took them out of the attic. So. Yep. You know, sometimes, ever wonder. And I told myself I would never do this before. And I'm still not going to, but I've thought about it, you know. What if I got a Ouija board, right? Or what if I, like, the Blair Witch Project thing? You go out in the woods, you see those little stars, those little Star of Davids, I think they call it, pentagrams and shit. Well, you know, when you feel very low on yourself, you feel like you're at the bottom anyways, you know, why not connect with the outside world, you know? Maybe they have answers you don't. Now, I'm not saying to do this. I'm not saying I'm going to do this. I'm too pussy to do this, you know? Anything I can't see that's, you know, talking to me, you know, it's pretty scary shit. Just imagine if they had glasses where you could walk around you have glasses and you just see all the spirits and ghosts around you. That would actually probably be one of those situations like the FBI, the less you know, the better. But I have thought about if I were like trying to connect with the outside world is a scary place. And, you know, it can be, I guess. But at the same time, maybe when we're so caught up, you know, people say we're in the matrix, interdimensional, and I'm not going to get too into all that stuff. But sometimes we think all the answers are in front of us. Sometimes we think they're within us. And it's just about pushing through consistently and all that stuff. Maybe that's what, you know, these portals are for, to actually find answers. Because if it's through a portal, it reminds me of the movie Interstellar, where, if you guys have seen it, Matthew McConaughey, through these other dimensions, he's able to basically time travel to the past to drop hints to his daughter through bookshelves and stuff like that, that he's stuck in space. And these are how to get us back. Here's the equation type of thing. And, you know, maybe there is something to that where you got to kind of access, I don't want to say the underworld, whatever world, the underworld, the upper world, the side world, the inside your girl world. It's all good pipes. But maybe we got to access those things so we can understand why the fuck Marjorie doesn't put no butter in her fucking baked chicken, you dumb skanky green bean casserole wannabe French onion crunchy ass bitch ass hoe. God, I'm so fat I'm running out of breath just saying that. I started to sound like country boy with Charleston white a little bit. I'm a white boy that's been to Charleston. Choo-choo. So, but it got me thinking, if I were to connect with the outside world, whether it's like through a Ouija board or through some portals, you know, subjective, could it actually, if you're already down at the bottom of the barrel, if you're someone that's like on the brink of just saying, fuck it, I'm done, I'm willing to just walk outside and hope these cars don't pay attention at these yield signs. The amount of people I see when there's pedestrian walking past and they don't yield. And I am pro sideswiping a biker. You know, not literally, but, you know, I don't feel too much sympathy when they do stupid shit and get hit either. But, like, regular pedestrians walking, and they're like halfway, and there's always that weird indecision, right? Because there's always one end of the sidewalk across the freeway to the other. Okay, halfway through, they have the right of way, but then you got people taking right turns yielding, and they're like halfway through the walk. So it's like, this person technically can make it, but they go, and the person behind them goes, and this person's stuck in the middle of the road, kind of walking slowly, wondering who the fuck's going to stop for them, even though they have the right of way anyways. And it kind of, you know, I forgot what the whole point of that is. But yeah, I wonder if sometimes we got to find answers through Jesus. And, but if you're already down, yeah, if you're already down at the bottom, just ready to get hit, maybe accessing, you know, maybe Hollywood's on to something. Maybe people that are like, oh, they gave their life to the devil, you know, type of thing. You know, you could judge from the outside. You know, we judge Lil Uzi Vert, and I'm not a big fan of the concerts. Travis Scott's basically representing rituals and stuff like that. But you know, you can't be out here, I can't be out here when I'm not really pro-Jesus and then be so anti-Satan. I'm not, I could care less about either, per se. You know, I don't have a bone to pick with this fight. Whoever gets me a winning trade first, that's whose side I'm on. And if you're a rapper, or you're an entertainer, and you sell your soul, but you're rich, you have everything you want, that you thought you wanted at least. Like, is it really a bad deal? Because in the alternative, it's like, great, you didn't sell your soul, and now you're, you know, regular as Joe, trying to make it out here, saying you have morals, but then you cheat on your wife. Or you do immoral, you do immoral things. Anyways, where at least then you can say, I didn't do something, but now you have no control of your well-being and your existence. Where this, it's like you let something else take control, and you at least have structure of the devil's always there, you know, just scratch your booty hole. So, I don't know. I don't think it's the worst. I would, you know, I think there should be like entertainment viewings to watch an exorcism. I would pay to go see one. Just to remind myself, like, man, you know. That'd be cool to elevate. Elevate. But I would, like, honestly, I would go pay to see an exorcism. I think it would be good times, you know? I guess my concern would be, do you bring a plus one? Is that one of those things you just like, I'm going to go check this out myself before I bring company? Do you, you know, it's like, hey, imagine you have a friend, you know, most people of Christian faith are like, hey, you know, come to church, no reservations, hey, no pressure, hey, just come, enjoy the time, just all that. So you're like, hey, you know, I enjoy it. Hey, you know what? I would like you to come to my world. And then be like, oh, what are we doing? It's like, it's a surprise. And you bring him to a live exorcism, you're like, yeah. Don't worry. No reservations. No pressure. We're just here to enjoy the show. and you're just watching some person float 8 feet above the bed, and you're like, damn, that's a nice angle to get a little poom-poom in. And then you're like, I can't do that. What the fuck am I talking about, you piece of shit? I realize I tell myself I'm a piece of shit a lot. And, you know, people around you don't like it. And I'm not saying they should. It's not a thing to be fond of yourself. It's a thing that, you know, you just gotta accept. Sometimes you talk to yourself, and when you're on a record impressive losing streak of being a piece of shit, you just gotta accept that you're a piece of shit, man. It's okay, you know? That's the thing. Just accept it. It's okay to accept that you're a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. We're all pieces of shit. So, yeah. Oh, well, you know, if you talk to yourself, you'll manifest it. It's like, I don't need to manifest it. It's here. I can't do shit, you know? I can't do anything well or properly. And that's what a lot of people feel like. Feel like, where does all this self-hatred come from? You know, you're so much better than telling yourself you suck and you're a fat fuck and all this stuff. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying go out and tell your kids they're pieces of shit, but at the same time, are they? But no, in all seriousness, like, where does it stem from? Well, you know, I think a lot of when that happens is when you grow up and you're unsure of yourself, you go through tribulations, you have a hard time having control, and you feel like you have no control of whether that's your anger, your well-being as a person, you're mentally unwell. So you go through time and you find a balance. You think, like, man, you know, I found something. And then you think you've opened a door to yourself. A lot of people feel like, you know what, I'm going to go for it and risk it. And they go for it and risk it, and it face palms twice as hard on them. And when you don't have that history of constantly just being good at stuff, being able to overcome stuff, comes a point where it's like, you know what? Maybe you get to a point where this is just who I am. I'm a failed statistic of things. This is as good as life's going to get. I have nothing to show for it. And maybe, you know, you just got to accept that. I don't know. For a lot of people, that's the truth. You just got to accept it. It's not something people want to hear. It's not something I advocate for by any means. But at the same time, if you constantly feel unwell about yourself, and you constantly tell yourself you're unwell, people always try to tell you, no, you can't be, you'll never be good enough if you never tell yourself you're good enough. It's like, but I could tell myself, you know what? You are a great partner. You know what? You are a great trader. You know what? You are a rational person. You know what? You do make a great living. And then I don't. Now I'm just lying to fucking everyone. And that's worse. You don't want to be a liar, you know? But, yeah, you know, just connect with demons and, you know, let them take care of your dirty biz. But speaking of, like, connecting to Portal, you know, I remember it was probably almost a year ago. I remember so fondly. I was laying in bed. I was in a deep, deep sleep. You know, sometimes you're in a sleep, you feel like you're in it. Like, you literally feel like your body, because, like, in your dreams, everything is going exponentially slower than, like, how you would really do it. Like, let's say you're dreaming of being in a fight in a dream. Like, if you're imagining your actual arm doing the punch, you're, like, reaching out so slowly compared to your reach in real time if it was real life. And, you know, maybe your dreams are actually a form of the other dimension when you're actually well in tune with it. When you actually get deep sleep, it's, you know, it does almost feel like you're in a different world. It really feels like you're in tune to what your actual thoughts and your cognitive mind's in. Because when you're not getting sleep and stuff, the reason why you don't, I think the reason why you don't remember your dreams as much is because, one, you don't have the energy, the brain power to have that muscle memory to remember exactly what you just did for 7 hours. And you're not really dreaming about what's in tune. You're dreaming about what you've consumed and what's on the front of your mind, but not really what's deep into it. Damn, it's actually kind of deep. And I had this dream to where I, going back to connecting with the portal, I don't play with that shit, you know. My mom's, my parent, like, she's like, do not fuck with that shit. Not even for fun. It's not anything to joke around with. So, you know, I talked to a girl and said, I'm not even going to say it because I said it on a podcast one time. And that, where I lived at the time, when I mentioned that word, just the word, the whole energy in the room changed. So I did. That's why I don't play around with that shit either. Even though I talked about 15 minutes ago about if you're going to connect with the underworld, you know, why wouldn't you do it? Well, that's why, because shit starts feeling weird. So I went to, I was in this dream, and it literally felt like a gargoyle was like, it felt like I was being levitated, but it felt real. If that makes sense. But I was like in a dream, you know, like the scene Get Out where she kicks him when she's hypnotizing him in the middle of the movie, kicks him down and he falls into the abyss, right? And that's what it felt like. I'm like, not free falling, but I'm just in a flow state where I am just here, but I'm not really, I can't do nothing about it. It's like that help. It literally felt like my soul was leaving my body type of shit. It felt so real. It was so intense. I woke up literally like, got up in the middle of the night. My girlfriend, she was next to me. She was literally like, you were like legitimately like talking in your dream type of shit. And she was like, because she has a good sensory stuff about this stuff. She's kind of, she knows stuff when she's like, I think you connected with the, with a portal type of shit. And I'm like, I don't mess with that shit. And she's like, it's not about whether you have seeked it out. If you're in certain steady state of minds and stuff like that, where like people that are extremely depressed or people that are extremely, when you are very vulnerable as a person for many whatever reasons, the reason isn't because of what actual other humans will bring onto you, but because of any things you don't realize. And it seeps into you. It like seeps into your skin and it becomes a part of you and it leeches onto you. And you kind of create this cycle of you're being held down by demons and stuff like that. And you don't even realize it. And so, but those dreams where it's like you wake up and you like, it feels so real. And now I woke up and like the room just felt weird as fuck. Like, it literally felt like something was watching me. I realized I just made a reason why you shouldn't connect with portals. But if you do, do responsibly. Imagine they just start putting that in commercials. If you are going to connect with the outside world, do responsibly. Yeah, it's just, yeah, you know, we all go through these times where we feel like, well, Jesus, what the fuck, you know? It's completely normal to question yourself through all these things. So, yeah. Sorry, I just had to do a check on something. All right, yeah. I don't know, you know. If I were like, I'm not a person, I don't, you know, is there life after death and stuff? I don't know, yeah. I don't know how much it is to worry about. It's not something I think about, like, you know. I've always found, like, I don't know what the obsession with being buried is, right? Like, if I'm dead, I'm dead. Like, you're preserved. I feel like the funeral service has found a way to profit even after you die. It's a pretty amazing skill set, right? I would tell my parents and anyone, like, bro, if I die before anyone else, do not go bankrupt. Do not spend $5,000 to $10,000 to bury me underground. Don't do it. It's not, if you do not have the funds to do it, you know, man, just dispose of me. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's like a couple hundred dollar fee to dispose a body. Just dispose of me, you know. Just put a nice little, you know, like what it was called, like a cat necklace you keep in remembrance. Like I have an old cat me and my girlfriend got a couple years ago. And passed away literally a month after we got it. And it was like the saddest shit. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I cried like a baby. That shit was hard. I don't know if you've ever watched. Watching an animal die in your arms. It's. Because it's gonna happen to everyone. Like, very, you know, as much as we talk about, like, people aren't gonna die in your arms or your eyes. Most people die when you're not around them. You know, they die in their sleep. They, you know, have a heart attack, and you are, you know, three states over. Like, most time you find out about it. You don't actually see the thing die in person. You don't see the living thing die in person. Until we cats and dogs, since they're in the house all day, you know, you're bound to see and find out the hard way. Most time people take to the vet when they find a problem, and then this is like, hey, we can't really fix this. And you have to choose either pay an exorbitant amount for surgery that may extend their life a few months, and most people can't afford it. So they do the hard decision of putting the animal down. And I talked about it before, but like I think the hardest movie scene I've seen to date, and granted, I was younger at the time, but right, even as a grown adult, I came across the clip accidentally on like when I had Instagram like 4 years ago. I came across a clip, and bro, just like seeing it reminded me of the moment I saw it, of Marley and Me. Breaking news, sorry, spoiler alert. They put the dog down on Marley and Me. That shit, oh my god, bro. Oh my god. The way they look into that dog's eyes, man. But, you know, I guess it prepared me. You know, I've had to put down a couple animals in my life. But to put down a kitten that didn't have even the opportunity, even the chance to even just like live a little bit of a life, to even build a bond with another cat, to even have fun for a little while, you know, that's the sad part. Like, it was just starting to get comfortable. Like, we were connecting it, introducing the, you know, our cat that lives here with, and you know, the hardest part that lives with me, to be honest, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, she had fluid in her lung, and we were actually given the cat from a friend like a month prior, if even that. We were given the cat like a month prior, and there was no indication it had any issues, and we know it's like 3 or 4 days before we took it, it was kind of having trouble breathing. Something was off or whatever. Didn't think nothing of it. And literally waited one night where I forgot the exact thing, but like, it was just like, I went to work. I knew something was wrong, but I can't. I was like, you know what? Give her this. She'll be fine. I got home and she was not. And drove her to the vet that night. And I thought, hey, you know what? We're going to go there. They're going to do whatever. We'll be all right, you know? She'll be all right. She'll recover. And then, you know, they told, like, hey, she's gone. Well, not like that, but, like, we can do this. But, you know, it'll probably come back again. And, you know, you try to think optimistic. Like, you always hear these people over-exaggerate towards, like, you know, they said she had 2 weeks to live, and here she is 6 years later. And I guess you try to rationalize, like, you know what? That's her. She's a tough little one. Not even, like, 30 minutes after we got home, shit started happening again. Took her back. We were there, like, all morning, and we had to make the tough decision to put her down. And to be in that room, sitting next to her, and just watching her. Sorry. How did I start a podcast talking about demons, and here I am fucking crying like a bitch? I've connected a portal to tears, the trail of tears. And I sat there, right next to her, man. Just like this. It's hard, man. Like, I don't. I sat there, right next to her. And, She's laying down, she's looking at you, and you feel like you felt her, and you feel guilt because, you know, you can't afford to pay $8,000 for a surgery to give her a chance, and you're just watching them put an injection in her, and you just see her eyes go out slowly. And the worst part, man, like, that shit, it was a cat that I barely had for a month. I had a cat, you know, that I had for all my childhood and adult life. And when she passed away, my dog, but, like, you know, you're sad about it, but, bro, like, they lived to the fullest, man. Like, they maxed out their life, you know. Like, they had gray hair. They could barely walk. They walk and they shit. That's all they really do, you know. So, you saw the face. It's like, okay, like, it's sad, but you're more okay with accepting it. And you see that little kitten, and you just, on a smaller scale, of course, I'm not compared to losing like a child or anything, but it's like that didn't even have a chance. But yeah. Anyways, back to titties. I don't know how the fuck it got down that road, bro. That shit was sad. You know, maybe it's because when you're down on yourself and stuff like that, man. Like, stuff like that, that reminds you, man, like, it could always be worse, you know. This is probably the first time I've cried since then. That damn cat makes me cry all the fucking time. Not all the time, but every time I deeply think about it. But yeah, my balls smell like semen, bro. Sorry, I gotta find a way to segue out of this pussiness. So yeah, anyways, any jizz. But see, that's the, you know, it's a beautiful part of what just happened, being real about it. When you feel real emotion for the first time, good or bad, in a long time, all of the petty shit that you worry about, of, you know, bad days of training, bad days of this, like, feel like you can't do anything right and all that shit, man, like, it reminds you that all that shit that you stress and get angry about really, it's such a small segment of what is really about in life, you know. But I'm a pro, so we're going to keep it rolling. I'm a grown man that cries over little kittens. It's okay. It's okay. I'm a big boy now. I almost have no tissue, so you're going to have to hear me snorkel. But yeah. I didn't know that on cruise ships, man. I didn't know they just dropped your sewage into the ocean. We find the wildest ways to rationalize our disgusting behaviors. I got to tell you, man. We find a way. We are just disgusting human beings sometimes, you know. I've never been on a cruise, you know. it's weird, you know. You grow up, I've been on vacations to the typical places, you know. I've been to, you know, Florida, South Carolina, New York, and like states you pass in between and stuff. But never like gone on a cruise. I don't know what type of family or special being high horse self of yours. And really, you think about what a cruise is from afar, it kind of, for what you pay for the average person, most people pay, it seems like you're paying on the out of the ass to be on a restricted area boat, to get seasick, to pay for more food when you're on the cruise, to pay for extra drinks while you're on the cruise, because where else are you going to get it? To walk around, and God forbid if there's a storm one night, bro, you're kind of fucked. I don't, you know, maybe it's me being negative and shit. Maybe I watched Titanic a few too many times. So was the Titanic considered a cruise? Like, is that what they called it back in the day? It's weird how Titanic, like, started this whole cruise business. And they're like, we had this epic failure to start out this cruise business. And we're like, bruh, this is it. I know we just had this iconic moment of hitting an iceberg and shit and fucking up the boat. But we can make this a business. Royal Caribbean, here we come. It's wild that there's not, you know, maybe the Titanic really got their shit together. It really feels like there hasn't been a whole lot of cruise death mishaps. Like, yeah, there's the weird shit of it. Shutting down, run out of food, no one can shit, people have to shit in bags on one. But it doesn't seem like there's been a crazy amount of just, like, cruise ships tipping over and shit since then. But airplanes, bro, every fucking week, there is some, like, a couple days ago, a small aircraft carrier, it was like a skydiving aircraft carrier, in Tennessee, crashed. And it reminded me, I went skydiving probably, like, 5-6 years ago. It was fun, enjoyed it and stuff, and it was the same fucking plane that thing crashed. And it got me to thinking when you're up there, it's like, you know, this plane's kind of felt like it was built when Orville, when the Wright brothers, it felt like the type of plane the Wright brothers literally built. It was an old beat down plane. Some guy that I'm not even sure had a flying license, and then some, just two dudes on your backs. Nope. Pause. Two dudes on our backs. To be like, yeah, we got your life. And you're like, okay, I guess you do. I guess we'll find out. And it got me, we have so, like, this whole aviation thing. I know there's a guy, Nathan Felder. I haven't gone too deep into it, but a lot of people, but apparently he went through, like, undercover, quote unquote, he went through flight school and aviation, and he said it's embarrassing how easy it was just to get to be able to fly the plane. Meaning, there wasn't really enough training for someone to be securely flying a plane like that. Like, they didn't really go through too many scenarios, what if were happened type of thing. He's going around the media rounds, like, basically like, hey, this shit is kind of a joke. And when you, I haven't gone too deep into it, but when you're, now we're getting crashes every week, every other week, and then at least a major airline one every month and a half or so. Like, it's pretty intense what's going on right now. I don't know, you know, I just, It's not frustrating because I don't really fly, but am I like the only one that is seeing it and is like, why is this not more of the real news story right now. Of all these things, we're about trade, you know, we're about trade deals because, oh, we might pay out of the ass or China's going to pay out of the ass. But we got our own domestic airlines that are killing our own people. We got protesters in California and Texas over ICE and deportation and all that stuff. You know, I guess that's great, you know, but what about the aviation? It's like, you know, won't we be able to deport people properly? Or people won't be able to fly in properly? I will say, as America, we have this hypocritical nature about ourselves kind of thing. And this isn't about being pro. This isn't about being pro-immigrants or none like. That's not the point here. One, anytime people say illegals are taking your jobs, it's no, they're not taking your job. Like for 98 to 99% of people, if you lost your job, it's not because they hired an illegal immigrant. That's not the case. It's just this like weak excuse we come up with when things aren't great economically wise for citizens. I do believe that we should treat our own citizens equal, if not better, than what we treat tourism, which it really all starts from tourism. When you break it down, the countries that get it wrong, we do a lot to impress tourists. Other countries do a lot to impress Americans because it brings outside money. Because if you're able to travel and spend months in a state and you're willing to spend on Disney World and all these cool things to travel, like, yeah, like, that's where a lot of money comes from. So I get it. But treating tourists better than the actual citizens that live there, that's why we got these situations in Wyoming. You got all these rich billionaires, you got Brady getting big cabin air, like they're these developers, these realtor developers, they're building these big houses that, and the Wyoming government has basically said, like, yeah, you know, we kind of need this money, so it is going to raise prices. We care about our people, but this is where the money comes from. They're basically saying, like, yeah, if Ye wants your land, he's probably going to get it. If Brady and these billionaires want to rent out these, if they want to take 8,000 acres of land to build some, you know, a cabin lodge neighborhood, they're going to build it and they're going to price you out. But that's kind of the issue, is people treat where the money is. And so, I guess the way we look at it is, as citizens, once we get accustomed to our living and live within expenses, it's already limited what they could get out of us. But they want that new money, so people from other countries come here, work for cheaper, because it's still a better life, and they get more production for cheaper labor, right? But my thing is, and this is kind of what summarizes the whole point I'm trying, there's this MMA fighter. I think his name's John Piter or something like that. I watched him fight. He's not a bad fighter. He shitted on Mexico. Called it a dump, all this stuff, because the UFC fought in Mexico, which is like, okay. What's odd to me is, I don't realize, like, we always complain about other people coming to our countries, but we feel entitled, like it's a privilege for us, for other countries to have us in there. It's like Mexico doesn't care if we go there all the time. But in America, we block off everything, bro. Like, nope, this, that, and the other. But no, we should be able to go here and here and here. But like, you know, someone tries to come here, it's, oh, they need these 18 forms of verification and all this shit. They need to be this, that. But, oh, we brought, because also we got to think about, in America, we have such an advantage to have our money travel with us for conversion. Because you can make a lot of money here, convert it to other cheaper livings, and stretch that dollar a lot more than someone's working a similar job in Honduras. They can have their money translate here, but it ain't going to do much now, you know? And that's something we also got to take into consideration when you're talking about. These other countries are dumps, but then we voluntarily go there all the time because we feel like we're entitled to travel where we want, but people travel here. Then it's just kind of like, you know, it's just kind of, you look at it from afar. And there's, it's all about balance. Like, we need tourism. Other countries need tourism. People are always going to want to pay cheaper labor. But really, a lot of these companies should just pay people that have already put in the time, just better pay in most cases. You always hear from a business owner, it's funny, you know, this argument about business owners saying there shouldn't be a minimum wage, right? Anytime a business owner who's incentivized to pay you as least as possible, they tell you there shouldn't be a minimum wage. What they're really telling you is they want to open internships. They want to open, oh, you need to prove yourself for a long time before we pay you more, right? Like, if you think that, and their argument is like, well, you would be able to negotiate actually a higher pay. It's like, it don't matter what I negotiate, you're not going to pay me more than you have to. That's just the name of the game. So, they're comparing, oh, minimum wage is 15, 17 hour, depending on what state you live in. And it's really cutting into their profits. They have to raise prices and stuff like that. It's like, they're basically saying that, although I am not for prices being higher as a consumer and stuff, I don't want prices to be higher. But at the same time, we're all kind of living in the same world. I don't want to go somewhere where the employees are the brunt end of the stick and they're at the bottom of the totem pole and they're getting fucked over more than anyone else. You know, I don't eat, like, all you can do as a consumer, when I feel like a place has gotten too expensive or it's not worth it, like a McDonald's, like, I just can't sit there with a straight face and pay $12 for a combo meal, because my reference point is, I don't know, it's just a gut, like, I feel like $7 to $8 is my max for a McDonald's combo meal. It just is. I can't always explain it. But at some point, it's like, bro, for this, there's too many better quality options. But I knew when I was paying $8, $7, $8 for a combo meal, employees were getting paid about $8, $9, $10. So, and they'll always give you like, well, we have to pay our people more. It's like, you guys have been making insane profit margins for the longest time. Like, I promise you, these businesses that try to tell you, we got to put on the consumer because now we're forced to pay our employees more. That, the word choicing should tell you everything. We are forced to pay our employees a little bit more. That should tell you everything you need to know. I don't want to go somewhere where someone feels like it's a burden to pay employees. Like, yeah, they chose to work there. And then also, I will say, a lot of business owners, especially at the small to medium scale, they feel so entitled. that, like, because they have a business, you have to go there. Like, you're entitled to go there. It's like, bro, like, I don't. Like, business owners feel like, oh, we run the economy. It's like, no, you'll be out of business and people will go somewhere else. Like, the world would be fine without your small little barbecue stand. I'm sorry. The world would be better without McDonald's. I agree. McDonald's could disappear tomorrow, and I promise you, it would be a culture shock. But guess what? People will just go somewhere else. These business owners, they try to guilt you that it's everyone's job to keep their business in business. Make your place an attractive commodity for people to want to go to, if that's the case. But you blame the economy because no one wants to come. It's like, no one asked you to open a restaurant. That was something you wanted to do, and that's okay. But it's just the people, man. Like, there's the good business owners who just understand, like, it's different times of year. People don't always want to come and spend $20 on some shit. Then there's these ones that, like, they go online, they get an attitude. Anyone that makes a Google review shitting on them, just say, like, yeah, no, this service was kind of trash, bro. And then they're like, oh, defamation. You're tearing my business down. I'm going to sue you. It's like, bro, if I have to worry about if I go to a restaurant or if I go to, like, this girl who went to get her prom dress fitted and they didn't have it ready in time. There was a whole confusion on fitting it in, getting appointed appraised, but she already paid like $1,700, which is fucking insane. But Jesus Christ. She already paid like $1,700. And because in the contract she put, oh, you can't for defamation and all this shit. It's like, bro, if I pay $1,700 for anything and I don't get what I paid $1,700 for, and you don't want to refund me or give me the fucking thing I ordered, the last thing you should be worried is about a fucking Google review defaming you. And you have the audacity to tell me, oh, defamation. I'm going to, like, you can't be sitting here tearing down my business. Like, no, you tore it down when you don't even follow through on just common, practical sense of business, which is follow through with what you promised. And if you don't, for whatever reason, just be like, hey, sorry I couldn't do it for whatever reason, here's your money back. But these businesses feel so entitled to your money, especially small, but you know, small businesses can sometimes be the worst about it. Because think about the benefit about big corporate business, and I've worked for big corporate before. Like, as much as people complain about it, like, they have so much money backlogged up. Like, there's a lot of margin that you can fuck up. Like, when you work at a fast food or you work at just a place that has so much where they've already priced in the fact that you're going to fuck up 50 meals that day. Like, everything is priced in, bro. When everything is priced in, you kind of, like, you're not worried about it, bro. Like, you can sneak 5 sandwiches a day, bro. They do not give a shit. Like, they got to put it on paper, you know, after 8 o'clock, bro. Like, no one gives a fuck, bro. They're making so much bank in that shit. It does not fucking matter. You have your extra double cheeseburger. You got one over us. Woo! These small businessmen, they feel so entitled to just all these unnecessary fees for everything, bro. It's just, bro, it's insanity. But yeah, you know, I just think we just need to get a I think we just need to get a little bit of a healthier attachment to just common sense, practical business stuff. People, and that's the thing, people are so obsessed with quote unquote being business minded, entrepreneurial, and it sounds great. But a lot of people do it just to say they have a business, but then you see how they operate their business and you're like, yeah, I'm good. It's like, if I go on and clown your company, then you earned it. Because I never leave reviews. And if your first threat to me is going to be for defamation, I'm going to go 10x times on the defamation. I'm going to tell you, you know what? Defamation isn't a real fucking thing. You can write whatever defamation you want on paper. I'm going to shit on your ass. You take me to court. I won't even need a lawyer. Because I'm going to go up there and I'm going to shit on you more. And now you just open the broadened scopes of how much I'm going to shit on your fucking business. And then everyone in that jury, the judge is going to be like, damn, this business kind of does suck. And they're going to side with me. You're going to have to pay me back for what the fuck I paid for, plus fees. And I won't even have legal fees because I don't have a lawyer. So that is just straight business-minded cash, homie. And then you're going to be out of business and say, I got put out of business by a broke guy. You try to finesse the system and realize the only thing finessed was you. Bitch. So yeah, that was episode 341 of the Often Be Podcast with Clint Nelson. I am your host, Clint fucking Nelson, you sack of shit. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, most part, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.